You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
There has been reporting that additional demonstrations are being planned in the coming days, both here in Washington and across the country. I have been briefed by the U.S. Secret Service on the potential threats. Every American deserves to have their voice heard in a respectful and peaceful way. That is your First Amendment right. But I cannot emphasize that there must be no violence, no law-breaking, and no vandalism of any kind. Everyone must follow our laws and obey the instructions of law enforcement.
January the 15th, 2021, that is President Trump again saying there are reports that there might be more violence on Inauguration Day in D.C. and across the nation. And he's saying, my supporters do not get involved in that. Do not take part in it. Have you seen the mainstream media reporting that and stating that and restating him about that point? Probably not. Of course, he did not say enough as far as they were concerned about the rally in front of the Capitol Wednesday week ago. And they say that was inciting and sending everyone down there to riot and rush in and threaten and so forth, which no one can show me a single line that says that. And, of course, they went after him. That became the basis for that second impeachment. And I said even while the rioting was going on, the president needs to be saying something, get forward with something. But his Twitter account had been shut down and others, so I don't know if he had an option to get out. And someone said the other day, said, well, if he said I'm holding a news conference, everybody will rush to hear him. I said, not very likely. But I don't know the facts other than the timing did not work out the way it should have. He should have been saying something earlier. When he did, it was a little bit too late. But here he is in advance saying, if you're thinking about taking part in anything like this going forward, do not do it. But you don't hear. You don't hear the mainstream media and the others saying, look, he's telling them to stand down. Stand down. Our focus on the next 2 hours, censorship, government versus private. Now, what might be coming, mainstream media will become mute under the Biden-Harris administration. Or worse, state-controlled media. Censorship by any other name still means shutting down opposing views, whether it be private or public or government. Big tech is doing it right in front of us and has been and will continue and makes it clear it's going to. And do you hear anyone on the left, standing up saying, that's not right. I might not agree with Trump. I think he's wrong, but you can't shut down his opportunity to use the same speech platform everyone else does, that the Ayatollah of Iran can use, the North Korean leader can use, the Chinese communist can use, Louis Farrakhan and spewing anti-Semitism can use. Have you heard anyone say that on the left? No. Nope. Because big tech is shutting down Trump and his followers. It's limited to them. But, what's going to happen on the next level? Has the left looked that far down the road? Not very likely. It's all about piling on Trump and his supporters right now. I'm going to be joined later in this hour by Kyle Salmon. He's an attorney, senior contributor to The Federalist. He wrote an excellent piece on how big government and big tech conspire against voters, conspire against you. Yeah, when we say voters, we mean primarily Trump supporters. And, of course, don't forget, we've already been told that Trump supporters have to be deprogrammed. not just to silence you, but you got to be re-educated, deprogrammed. So what's the future for the GOP party with or without Trump? I'd be interested in some thoughts on that, and I'll share them with you when we come up before the next 2 hours is over. Oh, in case you missed it, Joe Biden last night announcing a $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief proposal. Doesn't have everything to do with coronavirus relief. It's got all these other packages built in, but it's still not enough. For the leftists who say there's not enough money going out, Bernie Sanders said we will have to go to budget reconciliation to get more money in for green deals and so forth. It's never going to be enough. Oh, and the IRS pushing the tax filing season back to Feb 12. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. The good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We know that we face enemies of the Constitution. We know we experienced the insurrection that violated the sanctity of the people's capital and attempted to overturn the duly recorded will of the American people. And we know that the President of the United States incited this insurrection, this armed rebellion against our common country. He must go. He is a clear and present danger to the nation that we all love.
Those are the words of Speaker Nancy Pelosi this last Wednesday, the date of the second impeachment for Donald Trump. And, of course, making it clear he must go. We're going to be done with him. We're getting rid of him because he's a clear and present danger. And again, it's all tied to the riot that took place in the Capitol following a gathering of thousands upon thousands for a Trump rally in D.C. He never once said, go down there and tear things up or rush in and threaten anyone. You can't find any language like that. But they think they've got enough, and they used it in their impeachment to say he said enough things that definitely would encourage people to go do so. Where are you going to draw the line on something like that? I've got to really ask that. And if you're going to, I mean, how do you want to excuse some of the Hollywood elites for some of their remarks in the past about let's hang Trump, let's cut his head off, let's kill the kids, kidnap them and give them to pedophiles. I mean, where does that line stop? She's also now saying that Republican members of Congress may face criminal prosecution if they assisted rioters in the attack on January 6th. I will go along with that if it's actual proof and not just, again, some words or something that you're going to combine and say, see, here's the proof. You're going to have more than just what you try to do with Trump, believe me, especially when it comes to criminal prosecution. But we've already had several House Democrats suggest. See, that's an easy way to say, well, we don't really know, but let me just kind of put this out there for you to ponder and kind of light the fuse to this dynamite and walk away. Several House Democrats suggesting GOP colleagues were helping the Capitol rioters because the day before, on January 5th, they were giving them tours. Show them, here's this office, and so forth. Still no real proof of any such acts, but they'll struggle to find them. But Nancy Pelosi said, if in fact it is found members of Congress were accomplices to this insurrection, if they aided and abetted the crime, there may have to be actions taken beyond the Congress in terms of prosecution for that. And again, I will say, if in fact they did, they helped gave them a tour and said, here's where you need to be attacking and staging. If there's any evidence of that type, bring it forward. I'll join you in going after them. And by the way, keep in mind, you might actually have some Democrats who were probably, or could have been, I should say, doing the same thing, offering ideas and so forth, because they knew this would be a shameful day. Do I know that they did? No, I don't. Do they know they did, that the GOP did? No, they don't. But hey, if they can light the fuse and walk out of the room, so can I. But I also believe in higher accountability. But we've already seen the impeachment effort against Trump. And, of course, among the members of Congress, they've been talking about expelling those who were wanting to simply question the election, simply to question the election, and maybe to fight to certify some of the votes when they met the other day. Then if we continue to push on that, if they want to stand here and say this election was fraudulent and so forth, then for that reason we should expel them? Just because you have a belief they're going to expel because of your belief? You're entitled to your belief, your opinion, are you not? No, you're not if you're not on their side. And we'll see more evidence of that as we go through the next 4 years and maybe beyond. And, of course, you even had some Republicans saying that, you know, this impeaching Trump was not a smart idea. You're just going to embolden his base. But if you had offered to censure an official statement that what he did was wrong, we don't like the way he did, and so we're putting a scarlet letter on his forehead, as if it would bother, but they think that you'd have a complete unanimous probably support from members of Congress, because maybe there were things he could have done differently. But here, I just, in the opening monologue, ran a clip of him saying about the future threats and rumors of more violence to come. Do not take part in it. You're not patriots. You do not represent me. You do not represent the party. And you're not seeing that replicated and pointed out on the mainstream media. So if something goes wild and crazy, pray that it doesn't. But if it does over this weekend and leading up to Inauguration Day next Wednesday, you think the left's going to say, well, Trump did tell them to not do that, but he must have also kind of been running a subtle message under that, that you listen to it and you back it up, you'll hear him say, if you back up his words, you'll say, and hell, we will go after them again. Just play it backwards, you'll hear that. They're not past doing that. What we are going to see while Pelosi stands up there and says we are going to criticize and attack and impeach this president because of what his speech said in advance of the riot, again, it's just a move forward to shut down free speech. If he stood out there and called for attacking the White House, or I should say attacking Congress, setting on fire and burning it and lynching members, if he said that, your case would be better. But I'd also have to then say you've had many on the left say that kind of stuff repeatedly, big name actors and others. But the difference, again, is they're on the left. There is a member at Congress that they are now going after because they think he also kind of was encouraging violence to come. This is a newly elected congressman, Madison Cawthorn, Republican, representative for North Carolina's 11th Congressional District. You might recall Madison Cawthorn, who is wheelchair-bound. He was going into the U.S. Naval Academy in 2014. He had been nominated for it, but then he had a car accident and ended up being paralyzed. And that's the way he's been since he was 18 years old. Like many kids at 18, they see themselves as immortal. Nothing's going to happen. He and some others are returning from a spring break in Florida. He was a passenger in a SUV near Daytona Beach when a friend fell asleep at the wheel, hit the barrier, and leaving Cawthorn paralyzed. Well, recently, or I should say recently, back when he was running for office, and even since he's been elected, talking about trying to get young people involved, engaged in politics, because he thinks the youth is going to be important to the Republican Party, so it's just not old white men. Why are you looking at me like that? Anyway, Cawthorn is saying at his rally, he made some remarks, and they are now, some of the other representatives of Congress are saying, look at what he was doing. Look at what he said.
And so, everybody, I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you. Please, get on the phone, call your congressman, and feel free. You can lightly threaten them and say, you know what? If you don't start supporting election integrity, I'm coming after you. Madison Cawthorn's coming after you. Everybody's coming after you.
Wow, was that inciting? We're coming after you. What does that mean, we're coming after you? We're going to come after you, and we're going to replace you. We're going to gather people to vote against you. I mean, you can interpret the way you want. Now, obviously, if you want to say, well, he's calling for violence, coming after you, and he even did say, and you can lightly threaten them, but what does that mean again? You want a career in politics? We will shut it down now. That would be a threat, and then that's not so light. I'd be very direct and not so veiled. So let's listen to it again, and try to be objective. Even if you're a Trump supporter, step away from that for a moment and say, do you hear anything in here that's truly inciting and threatening to the point that would be criminal? Please listen.
And so, everybody, I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you. Please get on the phone, call your congressman, and feel free. You can lightly threaten them and say, you know what? If you don't start supporting election integrity, I'm coming after you. Madison Cawthorn's coming after you. Everybody's coming after you.
Well, again, it's going to be your perception, is it not? It's very close to anything Trump has said the other day in advance of the riot. And it's not even as far as some leftists have said about Trump and Trump supporters. Remember Maxine Waters, Congresswoman Maxine Waters had said in the past, if you see a Trump supporter or a cabinet member, get in their face, wherever they are, get in there, go after them. And it was shortly after that then Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her family had to leave a restaurant because people started yelling and shouting at them. And how many times have we had people wearing, even teenagers, kids, I should say, wearing a MAGA hat? Somebody comes over and whips it off their head because they don't think they should be wearing it. We need civility for both sides, and the law should apply to both sides. So the day after the riot, Madison Cawthorn, congressman again from North Carolina's 11th Congressional District, was addressing members of Congress on the importance of what he sees. And he made it clear that what had happened the day before for him, what he saw in the Capitol, that's not acceptable.
I want a new generation of Americans to be radicals, for freedom and for liberty, but not radicals for violence. I am bitterly disappointed by the protests that happened yesterday. The actions of a violent few were cowardly and pathetic, and I am not afraid to call it out. The Republican Party is a party of limited government. It is the big tent party. It's not the party of destruction.
Now, that's a far cry from what you might have tried to associate with him in that speech earlier, telling folks to, we're going to come after them. Let them know we're going to come after them, kind of lightly threaten them. He said, I'm not a party for that. We're not a party of that, and that's not what we're about. And then he talked about what Americans should, and I mean all Americans, left, right, center, should stand for.
And what unites each and every generation of Americans is the idea that those who submit themselves to the authority of government ought to have a voice in that same government. We are Americans here in this chamber and in this country. But what does it really mean to be an American? It means believing in the rule of law. It means speaking up in defense of our founding principles and in defense of the Constitution. Being an American means that you are proud of your country, but that you never beat your chest. And being an American means that sometimes you must stand alone while others sit. Now, obviously I can't stand, but trust me, if I could stand, I would stand in defense of our Constitution today. Amen. Thank you all.
Again, the remarks of Congressman Cawthorn. Nikki Haley has some remarks about free speech and the threat to free speech. I want you to hear them before we introduce our guest for today. Because what she says goes right to the essence of what's at stake. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Hear these companies talk about how, you know, their whole model is about free speech, yet you just shut down, you know, the president of you know, the most free country in the world, and yet you left Iran and you left China up there. And I just think it was a gut reaction. I think it was an emotional reaction. All it did is raise the tensions and the passions of all of the Trump supporters higher and make things more dangerous. If they had taken their time and calmly introduced what they were thinking to the rest of the country, it would have been a different story. But all they did was show it more as a power grab, and that offended a lot of people. I think it's going to backfire.
Those are the words of Nikki Haley, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., and she's right on target. When they shut down President Trump's tweet machine, and Facebook did the same, and then they actually went after his official presidential White House tweet and Facebook, they did anger a lot of folks. I mean, why would you do that? Why would you? If you're going to do that, if you think what he's done is creating violence and so forth, then how do you possibly explain allowing people like the Ayatollah Khomeini to be on Twitter all the time talking about death to America? Or Louis Farrakhan, anti-Semite. And then you got all the Hollywood elite that jump in. And think about all the things we've heard from them over the last 4 years. And they're escalating it now. And in fact, the other day, in the advance of the, on the day of the impeachment, Democrat Congressman Eric Swalwell, along with actor Sean Penn and MSNBC's Joy Reid, all comparing Trump to Osama bin Laden. They carried out the terrorist attack and responsible for it, I should say, on our nation. There is no correlation other than if we throw the name up there enough, it will work, which ironically fits the pattern of what they're trying to say Trump is guilty of. I remember Biden was kind of saying that Trump had been kind of part of the, like, the Hitler Nazi propaganda machine. You say the lie long enough, keep repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. It becomes common knowledge. But the left sees, oh, no, we are above that because what we say is not a lie. And if we keep saying it's not a lie, everybody will believe us. DePaul University professor and media critic Jeffrey McCall pointed out, all of this kind of rhetoric overstatement is harmful to the public sphere, disrupts the messages of healing that are being made by more rational speakers. Stereotyping political opponents is dehumanizing, and comparing anybody to bin Laden is reckless. And he also says the same, comparing anyone to Hitler and the Nazis. There is no real comparison. I thought Joe Biden said we're going to move forward with healing and everything. I don't see that happening with big tech, and is it going to happen to big government? I've got a guest coming up. He's an attorney, a senior contributor to Federalist. He wrote a very interesting article about how big tech and big government are conspiring against you. Actually, the title, Conspiring Against Voters, which would really be you, especially if you don't vote the way that big tech and big government think you should. Do you think things are going to get better? Do you think they're suddenly going to decide, you know, let's ease up, let's don't push so hard? Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley stating about that Biden unity message, there'll be no return to normal. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Kyle Salmon. He's an attorney, senior contributor to Federalist, co-host of Conservative Minds podcast. Glad to have you on board, Kyle.
Glad to be here, Larry. Thanks.
Well, I've got several things I want to go through, but I was focusing primarily on your most recent article for the Federalist, how big government and big tech conspire against voters. And part of that, you begin immediately to talk about a book which had warned of what would be coming. Set the stage for us, please.
That's right, yeah. I mean, the article was it's a book review based on a book that came out in September talking about how big tech, big government, kind of on the same side and wanting to steer the general population into, you know, away from right-wing views into left, increasingly far-left ideas.
May I take a moment to state the full title? Deleted.
Sure.
Hashtag deleted, big tech's battle to erase the Trump movement and steal the election. That was released in September. Go ahead.
Right. And a lot of what the author was talking about was, you know, censoring on Twitter, censoring on Facebook, that sort of thing. And, you know, I wrote about that. And then I had to update it this week because things got even worse. And a lot of what he even predicted came true, you know, with Parler being shut down, with accounts being deleted on Twitter, accounts being deleted on Facebook. And it's a strange moment in our culture because we're not used to, I mean, we've had monopolies before and we've had threats to free speech before. But in the past, threats to free speech have been mostly from government agencies. And monopolies have usually been just about making money, you know, and we broke up a lot of them over the years. Now you have a monopoly that's interested not so much, I mean, they want to make money, of course, but they also want to limit speech. And you know, after having established themselves as the premier forums for speech, you know, the way news is spread, the way ideas are spread, then they start to restrict entry to those forums and really eliminate a lot of alternate opinions.
And if the government and their lines are together, their opinions, I should say, then the line between them becomes seamless. They're almost of the same fabric.
Right. And you know, in the book, you talked about a lot of, you know, back and forth between the big tech giants and, you know, the Obama administration. You know, people were coming and going from Google and Facebook, and they fit seamlessly into either one because they both had the same kind of worldview. And you're going to see that again, you know, with the incoming Biden administration, especially Kamala Harris being real wired into Silicon Valley. A lot of people on her staff used to work there. A lot of people who work there used to be on her staff. You know, they're all talking the same language to each other.
So when we see Twitter CEO Dorsey the other day trying to explain the decision to ban Trump, He said, I do not celebrate or feel pride in our having to ban Donald Trump or how we got here. With a clear warning, we'd take this action. We made a decision with the best information we had based on threats to physical safety, both on and off Twitter. Was this correct? He's asking himself if it's correct and then continues, I believe it was the right decision for Twitter. So it sounds like I'm trying to act like I'm really being non-judgmental, but we're going to make our decision.
Yeah, it sounded like saying all the right things, but then just a couple months ago, they blocked the New York Post website for putting an article up about Hunter Biden that was 100% true. And it wasn't some crazy conspiracy theory or lies or, you know, half-truths. It was reporting on a legitimate news story that, you know, the FBI was involved in, too. So, I mean, Jack's words sound like they could be good, but what I think it's really just trying to make up for the fact that so many people are now dumping his service.
Well, in the next hour, I'm going to share with the audience some Project Veritas new video out at some of the conference calls Dorsey was on, basically acknowledging that we are going to focus on the Trump account, but we are looking to expand. So the bottom line is, if you are a Trump supporter in any fashion, if you attended a rally, if you were pictured in any of the rallies, or you gave any money, or they find your name on any mailing list, the pressure is likely to escalate against you, not just to censor you, but to maybe go after you and your job. Do you see, is that a stretch of the imagination to say that?
I don't think so. I mean, you see, after what happened in Washington last week, you saw all sorts of people on Twitter and Facebook saying, let's identify all these people. And so not only do they want to go after anyone who was there, whether he did a crime or not, but they're also sometimes tagging the wrong people. I mean, I saw a story about a guy in Chicago, a retired firefighter, who all of a sudden, you know, his social media was blowing up, people saying he was down there. He was 1,000 miles away. He was misidentified. It turns out that it was a guy from Pennsylvania. So, you know, not only are they're, you know, you get the sort of mob mentality going after anyone who disagrees, they're even reckless about it and just, you know, ruining random people's lives just because they kind of look like a guy in a photograph.
Well, before you joined us, I was talking about how the left continues. I mean, they accuse Trump of using Nazi tactics, Hitler tactics, so forth, of just tell the lie and tell it over and over again, the people begin to believe it. That's what their claim is against him. And yet here they do the same thing. I was quoting Congressman Eric Swalwell, along with Sean Penn, Joy Reid, all of them saying Trump is like Hitler and Osama bin Laden. And if they say that over and over again, folks begin to say, yeah, that, I think he is.
Yeah, I mean, people hear it enough and it radicalizes them. And I think too often we do this, even sometimes on our side. I mean, when you want to be so extreme in your comparison because it gets attention, you know, like comparing Trump to Hitler. And then it makes people unable to recognize an actual danger. You know, people in other countries who have lived through coups and civil wars and things are looking at it and saying, what's going on there? It's not nearly as, you know, bad as they're saying it is. That sort of big rhetoric, that big lie, it really, I think, undermines any chance of compromise in a democracy.
And the other balance to this seesaw is internet service provider Hong Kong Broadband Network confirming it's blocked access to a pro-democracy news website under orders from the city's Beijing-controlled government. And Facebook, or rather Twitter the other day, was going after Uganda because they were shutting down free speech on Twitter as the president is trying to be elected again, I think for the 35th year or something. I mean, so on one hand, they wanted to cry, we want free speech, but you're not going to be allowed to have your free speech.
Yeah, and I think I've seen, after Trump's account was shut down, I saw comments from the president of Mexico and the chancellor of Germany and a few other foreign leaders saying, whoa, you know, this is maybe too much power for a corporation to have. And these are not, you know, Angela Merkel is not a Trump.
No.
Supporter, you know, and the president of Mexico is a left-wing guy, not a right-winger. But they saw the problem, too, you know, and maybe because they're a few steps removed from our political process and not so wrapped up in getting the other side. You know, they're looking at it from their point of view saying, well, if an American company can shut down the American president, he could shut down any of us, too.
And, you know, that's a key point. And to say that they recognize it and Americans here don't recognize it absolutely confounds me that if you're an American, you don't realize that they had the authority to do that, That would be like coming in here and yanking me off the air because of our conversation we're having right now and saying, you're not going to be on the air anymore. FCC is pulling the station license if they put you on the air. Now, you're an attorney. Are you going to defend me or are you going to say, he called me. I didn't call him.
Right. Well, that's exactly what would happen. And even beyond the legal aspect, I think people are, you know, a lot when Twitter censors somebody, you know, people on the left will say, well, just go to a different company. It's a private company. They can do what they want. But when they're exercising a monopoly control, when they're squeezing out every competitor, like how Parler got delisted from Google's Play Store and Apple's App Store, right, and then Amazon pulled their servers, and say, well, okay, I could go somewhere else, except they keep shutting down everywhere else.
It's
unusual. I mean, this is not something Americans are used to. It used to be, you know, there's a million different newspapers, there's different radio stations, there's different TV
options.
Stations.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's only one Twitter and one Facebook.
You know, I had in our opening monologue, I pointed out that I see this mainstream media in the Biden-Harris going forward, is it going to become mute or it's going to become the SCM, state-controlled media, and censorship by any other name basically comes down, be it private or public, shutting down opposing views.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It might, even if it's private, it might stay within the letter of the law, but it's still against the whole principle that the law is built on. You know, like free speech came before the First Amendment. It's a natural right that the founding fathers believed we had to protect, but they didn't invent it. So when somebody transgresses that right, if it's not the government, they might not be breaking the law, but they're going against the founding principle of this country.
And yet for those who think, well, this is just now, we'll get past it, we'll kind of do a reset, we'll get back on track, ease things up. Before you join us, I ran a quick quote from Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, Democrat, of course, and it flies in the face of the message of unity that Biden is trying to push, and she's saying, there will be no reset button, no return to normal. The status quo is unjust in the first place. In other words, they're not interested in peace and unity going forward. They're not interested in common ground, not interested in compromising. They're interested in controlling.
Yeah, I think they think they won a huge victory and they're going to, you know, sweep all opposition before them. It was pretty narrow, though. And, you know, they lost seats in the House and they ought to consider that. When they're talking about how, oh, everything's going to change now, and we're going to, you know, get these people out, it's not going to work. I mean, I hope it just produces a backlash to that sort of thing.
I do too, Kyle. I want to thank you very much for your time and joining us, and we'd like to call you on you in the future again, sir.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks for having me on.
You bet, Kyle Salmon, attorney, senior contributor to the Federalist, also co-host of Conservative Minds podcast. So you can reach and see some of his pieces on there. There is something else I want to share with you. One, a piece by R.A. Flesher, who at one time was the White House Director of Information, and also a threat that maybe you hadn't considered yet. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I mentioned something that maybe you hadn't thought of that is going to happen once Trump leaves office. And we may have an answer in what I'm going to share with you now, or maybe not. What about all these classified documents involving the FBI inquiry and investigation into Trump, Hillary Clinton, all of that stuff? Now, Trump had called for this to be released months ago, and the deep state still just kind of kept dragging its feet. He gave directions to the FBI director and others, and they nothing, to, even with Bill Barr in front of the AG, serving as AG. Well, Senator Graham, Republican of South Carolina, says he is going to release documents and transcripts of the interviews, I should say, conducted by the committee looking into the so-called Russian collusion story. And he's identifying it as, quote, one of the most incompetent and corrupt investigations in the history of the FBI and DOJ. His statement says, I consider the Crossfire hurricane investigation a massive system failure by senior leadership, but not representative of the dedicated, hardworking patriots who protect our nation every day at the FBI and DOJ. He said, our committee is going to release as much as possible. Some classified material has still been withheld. He said, it will prove, though, we have evidence that FISA court was lied to. Information was being held from those being investigated that would help them in their case. There was a blind eye turned toward any explanation other than the Trump campaign had to be concluding, or rather colluding with foreign powers. I have not seen that come out yet. I've been kind of watching for it. So we will see exactly what Graham is going to release. Now, I mentioned going into the break about R.A. Flesher, and I absolutely was drawing a blank for a moment as to which president he served under. You'll have to forgive me. I just drew a blank. What can I say? He was press secretary to former George W. Bush. And, of course, primary spokesman during the presidential recount leading up to it, September 11, the two wars, anthrax, and so forth. R.A. Flesher wrote a piece I think is very interesting. That is that Trump was a wrecking ball, but he left a lot of accomplishments. The actual piece he wrote for Fox News in a column piece, President Trump entered office in 2017 as a political wrecking ball. He leaves the presidency Wednesday as an even bigger wrecking ball. In between, he was a wrecking ball with accomplishments. And he said, if the problem with wrecking balls, unless they're controlled by a skilled operator, they can swing backward and harm the person controlling them. And that's a good description of what Trump has done during his presidency, from some of the tweets to some of his more inflammatory statements. And, of course, he ties Trump to the riot at the Capitol, saying that they were inflammatory statements. Well, that's R.A. Flesher's opinion, obviously, and he's entitled to it. Did he try to fire up the crowd to go down there and protest and make sure legislators knew that we were concerned about this election? Yeah, he did. But did he say, assault police, crash through, and go into the house and ransack it and threaten? No, he did not. Now, the mob mentality takes over. So does that mean that if you do anything that someone starts doing and others join in, and it was never what you intended, are you going to be held accountable each time? In some criminal cases, you could be, depending on exactly what was involved. Watch this drive the guys to the bank. I didn't know they're going to hold it up. Well, they may charge you unless you can prove that you didn't have any knowledge. But what R.A. Flesher does point out, and we've done this previously, the remarkable accomplishments. The poverty rate prior to the arrival of COVID-19 dropping to its lowest level since 1959. Since 1959. And in fact, he says Trump did more in late 2018 to lift the poor and raise him to a higher standard than LBJ, who launched the war on poverty. He said the unemployment rate for those without a high school diploma pre-pandemic, also the lowest in recorded history. Hispanic, African-American unemployment, record lows. Wages stagnant for decades, shot up under Trump, especially for blue-collar Americans, as various deregulation policies went into effect and helped businesses get rid of some of the stuff they were wrapped around. He said Trump stood up to China, resetting the relationships between our countries. His appointments to federal courts, especially the Supreme Court, will have an impact for decades. There are a lot, and we cannot leave out, and R.A. points out, the relative peace he brought to the Middle East. And Israel, I would imagine right now, is extremely concerned about Biden coming in, because Iran is already excited about seeing Biden come in. They can't both be happy about a Biden administration, because Iran's entire premise is destroy Israel. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll begin our second hour with news and commentary. Don't expect just your standard old newscast. I throw comments onto it. I label it as such, so you know it's opinion as well. And we're going to get into more detail about what Jack Dorsey is trying to do to explain why they shut Trump down. But he also plants the seed. You're next. You could be next. So unless the license gets pulled by the FCC before we return, or somebody comes and hauls me out of the studio, I'll be here on the other hour. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.